Hey, fellow boundary breakers. If your current delegation systems are not working to get you out of the day-to-day in your business, there is an exercise on our website that is the first step to get you out of the delegation catch-22. I'm going to throw the link in the show notes for you to go ahead and download.
We are conditioned to think we have to do it all, that we need to be able to make like Pinterest-worthy cupcakes and also run our businesses and always have on makeup, and that we're not allowed to be human. And I think people in general right now are expected to be so high functioning all of the time. And I was like, no, my whole brand is like, you get to say, I need help. And so the first thing I did was say, I need help. And people most of the time love sharing their expertise.
Welcome to another episode of Female Founders Breaking Boundaries. I'm your host, Casey Gromer. I am the founder of She Suite Boutique. With over 20 years of marketing and business management experience, I work with small businesses and female founders using our signature business blueprint. On the show, you get tools, advice, resources, support, and encouragement that resonates with the modern businesswoman. So, fellow boundary breakers, let's dive in. Hello, fellow boundary breakers, and welcome to a new episode of Female Founders Breaking Boundaries. I'm your host, Casey Gromer, and you are listening to the podcast that's going to challenge all of those societal boundaries that we face as women that tend to hold us back from being successful entrepreneurs. And we're also going to be sharing ways that we can work around those boundaries so we can build businesses that run without us. I have an amazing episode for you today. We have a guest with us. We are talking to Kristen Carbone today, the founder of Brilliantly, and you can find her at brilliantly.co. I am really excited for you to hear this episode. I feel like it's one of my favorite interviews that I have ever done, mainly because Kristen's story is just riveting from all aspects. From her vision and the purpose behind her business all the way through how she built the business and where she's at now. And I can't wait for you to hear more about her story. A quick introduction so you know where we're coming from here. Kristen, in her early years, lost her mother to breast cancer. I think her mother was around the age of 40, and you're going to hear more about that story. But anyway, Kristen went through a preventative mastectomy and found that missing those appendages to your body presented itself with some challenges. And that's where the idea for Brilliantly came along. And she's going to talk about how she came up with the idea, how she started and funded the business, some of the mistakes she made along the way, and how she would suggest to you to avoid some of those mistakes. And just in general, hearing her talk about her community and her customers and her product is just, I had tears in my eyes for probably 75% of the interview. So without further ado, I want to welcome Kristen Carbone to the podcast. Hi, Kristen. Welcome to the Female Founders Breaking Boundaries podcast. I am so excited to have you here today. And I was wondering, for our listeners, this is kind of an exciting new guest. We've not really had a guest like you on the show before. So would you mind sharing who you are and what you do?
Yes, thank you so much for having me. So my name's Kristen Carbone. I'm the founder of a company called Brilliantly. And I am formerly an art historian, worked in museums, and made a mid-career shift into tech. And that was really because I was trying to solve a problem I was experiencing myself, which is why I started Brilliantly. And I'm sure we'll get into that. I'm a mom of two. I live in Providence, Rhode Island. And I know we're going to talk a lot about how, you know, my journey started and how it's shifting and changing and how I'm responding to all of the roadblocks and pivots along the way.
Well, one of the reasons I'm so glad to have you is I actually discovered you, I think it was on LinkedIn, maybe, I don't know, through a mutual friend who I love and enjoy. In fact, I think she's been on the podcast before. It was Angie Trueblood. So maybe we can link in the show notes that previous episode with Angie for you. But what drew me to you was just what Brilliantly is as a company, what you're doing, and how just heartfelt, mission-driven your business is. So why don't you, I mean, if you're open to it, just go ahead and jump in to
awesome.
What Brilliantly is and the story of how you came to start it.
Well, thank you. And yes, it was through Angie and she is amazing. And I did listen to your episode with her, but I think if your listeners haven't already, they should. She's
such
a wonderful person. So I started Brilliantly a few years ago. I had a preventative mastectomy and reconstruction in 2013. And that was because my mom died from metastatic breast cancer in her 40s. It was really an effort to avoid that same fate. I had spent years already undergoing really expensive emotionally and financially screening. And it was starting to sort of run my life. And right after I turned 30, they found a lump. And I know this has absolutely no medical significance, but it was in exactly the same spot as my mom's primary cancer. And when they found the lump, I knew they found it, right? Like if you've had screening before, you know exactly what's going to happen. And when they're going over the same spot over and over and over again, you're like, oh shit. And pardon my French if that's...
Yes, no, you're good. You're good.
But I decided in that moment that I was done with screening and I had had two children. And I really felt like my breasts had served their purpose functionally and that my identity was not built around them. And I know some women's is, that's not a judgment in any way. And that I wanted them off. And this was 2013. It was before Angelina Jolie now famously came out and talked about her decision to have a preventative mastectomy. And I believe she also had her ovaries removed. But before then, it was not something that was part of the popular consciousness. I just didn't know anyone else who decided to do that or who'd been through it. And I thankfully healed really well, but had nobody to say, hey, Casey, you know, what was this like for you? Or did you have this issue? Or all the things that I think women are really naturally drawn to doing, like having that community, having those discussions. And I just didn't know who to go to. And consequently spent years sort of struggling with things that I didn't feel like I had permission to ask a doctor about. You know, that like hashtag blessed
right.
mentality where I was like, oh, I got to choose this thing that so many women didn't have the opportunity to choose, that my mother didn't have the chance to do. And I have to just shut up and deal with the consequences. Mm. And one of the strange and very unexpected outcomes for me was that I felt cold all the time. And it's a hard problem to explain if you're not someone who has it, but when you don't have breast tissue and you have implants, there's nothing insulating them and keeping them at body temperature. And they're just cold all the time. Like you can actually touch my chest and feel that it's cold, but it also made me feel cold all the time, especially doing things that I loved, like swimming in the ocean with my kids or playing outside or shoveling snow, like all of these things that I like to do. And I do like shoveling snow. I grew up in Buffalo, New York. So it's like part of my person.
Good for you.
It's such a good workout.
It is.
I stopped doing all these things that I loved. And a close friend of mine said, I bet we could make you something. And he does special effects for movies. So he's not an engineer, but he has this deep, wide-ranging material knowledge. And we found a fabric. And I knew right away I didn't want to make a jacket or a vest. And I totally didn't want to try to design a bra. I wanted something that fit inside any of my bras and that I could wear with any outfit. And because neither of us were engineers, we made a thing that actually worked, but it was hooked up to a huge DeWalt drill battery. So like if I put it on, it fit in my bra, but I had like a bunch of cords that came out of my top and then it was hooked up and I was like, well, this is dead in the water unless other women need it too, because it's probably going to be expensive for me to hire somebody to make one. And that's when I really learned that there was a whole community around breast cancer for survivors, for previvors, for women living with metastatic cancer. And I just dove in. Facebook groups, Instagram, there were people who were documenting their journey in a way that totally didn't exist a few years earlier. And I started talking to women and learned really quickly that like 75% of them experienced this coldness after implant reconstruction, but also had these conversations about identity, about parenting, about talking to your kids about hereditary risk, sexual function, finding clothes that fit, strength, mobility, feeling beautiful, all these things. And I thought, wait a minute, how is it possible that we've done such a good job and there's still absolutely room for more? but we keep so many people alive, and we're alive and living, but no one's talking to us about feeling good. And that if you're lucky enough to ring that bell or you have a preventative surgery, your friends are like, you did it. You beat cancer. And those are the moments where you feel almost the most alone and isolated, from what I understand from women who've been through it. And from my experience, it makes it feel like you can't ask more questions. Like you can't say, I feel different. I look different. And I realized really quickly, I didn't want to just make this product, but I wanted to try to help with these other quality of life issues. So over the past few years, we've started not only a blog where we talk about all different kinds of things, but doing events both online and in person. There's a corrective exercise program, a portrait project, lots of different things that happened in tandem with product development. And we launched our product. It's called Brilliantly Warm.
Yes, controlled. I saw that.
Yeah. So it was last summer, and we'll probably end up talking quite a bit about all of the COVID-related pivots and things that I learned trying to launch the product during the pandemic. But knock on wood and everything, and so many people helped make it happen. But we were able to launch the minimum viable product during COVID and found out that so many women outside of the breast cancer community struggle with coldness for chronic health reasons, but also for lifestyle reasons, or just like it, like for going skiing or running outside or watching their kids play soccer when the weather is cold. Like there's just lots of different reasons. Breastfeeding moms love it. And we learned from our users that like half of them put it in their pants when they're having menstrual cramps. And so it's like informing our product pipeline now too.
Oh my gosh. So many things came to mind. First of all, you can't see me, listeners, but when I first came across Kristen and I went to her website, it brought tears to my eyes, literally. And just you telling your story right now, Kristen, still brings tears to my eyes just about what you're talking about, this quality of life, because you know, I've had illnesses in the past, and some of them were more than just a passing, right? And there is kind of the stigma around anything that you're dealing with in the health world is that you get this thing or you have this thing happen to you, and like it is what it is, right? Well, a lot of us kind of move with this attitude of, I just have to deal with this now. And I love that you said, I'm not dealing with this just because this happened to me. This doesn't define me, and I still deserve and can have a better quality of life. I mean, I think we should blow this idea up to every issue that people deal with and see how we can improve quality of life so everyone has that same opportunity. And I love that.
I think it's true for every life experience. You know, when you become even if it's a happy one, like when you become a parent or you get married or you get your first period or you have a health issue, whether it's chronic or acute, you're always redefining yourself and how you think about your role in the world and what that looks like. And I really tried to consciously brand the company as Brilliantly, not only because Brilliantly is like warm and radiant, but because it's not specifically like breast, because all of the topics that we touch on, as you just said so well, are relevant for everyone. Everyone wants to feel good no matter what their experience is.
Yes. Something else towards the beginning of your story when you were talking about dealing with the loss of your mother. And in addition to not only that, but knowing that this could happen to you too, and the anxiety behind worrying about our health is real. I know lots of people who have had that anxiety. And one of the things we talk about on this podcast a lot is this mental load that women carry. And I'm just imagining that mental load that you had, not only being a mom and having a career and losing someone you loved, and then also now having to worry about keeping yourself alive for these people that you love. And how are you best going to do that? And like worrying about, what is my life going to be like when I make this huge decision? It's just like, this is why we're here today, is that mental load exists and it can be debilitating sometimes. And we're just trying to find ways to lessen it.
I think you're right that it's constant for all of us. And it certainly was ever present. You know, the grief is like this thread that just exists most of our lives for different reasons. Mm-hmm. And you know, my 20s were spent caring for my mom, having her die, getting married not even a year later, having my kids really young because I thought I'm going to die young and I should have them and spend as much time as possible as I can with them before I die. And it's, you don't say those things out loud most of the time. I mean, I did to some people, and I think my inability to sort of figure out how to be well and happy while dealing with that sort of emotional load, it ended my marriage. You know, like there are huge consequences to that. And, you know, this is something I talk about every once in a while about, and my mastectomy, frankly, was like the first time where I had to admit, like, I need help. I can't do this. And it was the first time I ever talked about my mom to my kids because her friends and my family came to take care of me and talk to my kids about her, which I had never done. You know, like the years of having my mastectomy and starting this business and meeting so many women who not only understand me, who've had similar experiences, but are like willing to share has completely changed me as a person and for the better. I think I'm like, it's a terrible reason. And I think a lot of us come out of difficult experiences feeling stronger, but you know, you have to find those silver linings.
Yeah.
So we can keep going.
Right. Well, another thing that drew me to you and to Brilliantly was the fact that not only have you found the solution to things that most of us who have never gone through this, we would have never thought about that, right? I would have never thought about being cold. And you found the solution, but it's not just about the product that you're selling, because if you go to the Brilliantly website, by the way, which is brilliantly.co for anyone who's, and that will be in the show notes, but you have an entire, like a community section on the website that has multiple ways that you are supporting anyone who is in need of the solution that you offer. And that really stuck out to me. It's not just that you're making money or even that you're helping people, but you're actually walking the walk. Could you maybe talk a little bit more about the community aspect of Brilliantly?
For sure. You know, early on, I thought like, okay, I want to start talking to other people and documenting it and sharing people's stories, because I think I realized that I was feeling better from those conversations. And I thought, all right, well, Facebook groups are good, but they're not great. They're not curated. It's hard to go back. And a lot of this has changed in the last few years, but I was like, how do we share stories of these women? How do we be inspiring without being like diminishing someone's experience that was different? And how do we talk about all of these things in a way that's approachable? And that some of the communities that were coming up at the same time are really geared towards very much younger women, which is also really important because the incidence of young breast cancer just continues to go up. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I can't go to a spin class on a Tuesday night in the city. I need something that I can find in the middle of the night when I'm up worrying. And so for me, it felt really important that the content and the programming was not only free, but that it was agnostic of geography. You know, one of the women I talked to really early on lived in a rural area. She had to drive 2 hours to her treatment. She didn't know a single other person in her town who'd ever had breast cancer. And when she went to the support group at the hospital, it was all women who were in their 70s and they were like making holiday wreaths. And she was like, I just need to talk to another mom with young kids about like X, Y, and Z. And I thought, okay, we can do that. And so I tried really hard to understand the landscape of what was out there and do things that weren't. I don't want to compete. You know, I want to augment what's there and help build on what so many people have been working on. And I honestly feel like I'm part of a tide change, not just in the breast cancer space, but in women's health, where we are finally being given permission to say, we need help. We're not well. We need resources. We need products. We need services and content and community. And so I think that I'm building on this trend that thankfully is way overdue.
Yeah. What you just said about, I don't want to compete, you're kind of going beyond what's already out there. Just a little suggestion for listeners, if you have not heard of the book Blue Ocean Strategy, I can't remember who the author is right now, but it's an amazing book that talks very specifically about what Kristen just mentioned, which is taking a concept, but you're elevating it beyond anything that's already out there, and you're actually changing the market. Instead of changing the product to fit the market, you're changing the market too. So that was a nice plug. So I love the community aspect. And another thing I think you mentioned when like we were preparing for this interview was that, so maybe you can talk a little bit about how this started out. And you talked about how you had this thing that had the cords coming out and stuff, but now you're at this place where it's kind of grown beyond what you had ever even originally imagined, because there are other uses for this concept that you had never thought about. So maybe you share a little bit about how that happened.
Totally. Well, when we launched, so just a little bit about COVID, and I think everybody's sort of, whether or not you're making a product, privy to that, it took a longer time to get stuff during COVID. And batteries, Bluetooth chips, all of those things were really difficult to get and find and were much more expensive. And I found this amazing engineering firm in the summer of 2020 that offered to come on as investors because they were really excited about our technology. And they typically do medical devices, and they saw all the applications for like arthritis, for all, you know, any kind of small form factor rechargeable heater that could use our technology. They saw all these different pathways that I hadn't. But I knew, for me, just because most of my friends don't have a relationship to breast cancer, but lots of them are cold. And that's who I had access to during this time. Mm-hmm. I sort of knew that other women would want it and that they would enjoy feeling warmer. You know, like when I was testing some of them myself, when my son was playing baseball and the other moms, it was, you know, April and freezing cold. They were like, we want one. I'm like, cool. So when we launched with just 500 units, because that's all we could afford, the cost of Bluetooth chips went from $2 a chip to $30 a chip.
Oh my.
Like just, you know, like astronomical leaps in pricing. But I was like, no, we're going to keep moving forward. We're going to understand if people like this, if they want it, if they use it, who they are. And so when we launched, I just didn't know that people would find us yet. You know, all of the work that I'd done was in the breast cancer community. And because it was so early and we were only launching with a few, I was really trying to see who ordered them and look them up and thank them and get to know them, and learned that a quarter of them were from outside the breast cancer community. And that's when I realized, like, okay, we need to really understand who these users are.
Yeah.
And it's been a really exciting and expansive year for me in terms of understanding the opportunity for our product. So worked with an amazing group out of Chicago that ran a user feedback campaign, talked to our customers all the time to really understand how they found us, why they found us, why they use it. And, you know, we all know this, like moms in America go back to work so fast. And I'm bringing this up because breastfeeding moms was not on my mind. My kids are about to be 12 and 14. It's been a long time since I nursed. And I knew women were cold, but I hadn't thought about nursing moms. And if you're home with your baby and you're having an issue like mastitis or clogged ducts or issue with letdown, you get in the shower or you put a blue gel pad in your bra, like all of these things that you can't do when you go back to work. And so if you're a mom who's back at work and pumping and you're like, oh man, I feel this lump. It's probably a clogged duct. I need to heat up. Having a discrete solution was so important. You know, like if you're going to be in a board meeting and you're like, I'm back at work, I'm in charge, I'm a boss, or you can't take a shower in the middle of your workday. So that was really amazing to understand. And we're doing a deep dive into the breastfeeding mom community now to really understand them and their pain points and what are the other things that they're using and who can we partner with. And then the period pain thing was like, oh, duh. You know, it was such a light bulb moment for me.
Right.
I used to sit with a hot water bottle on my lap, an electric blanket, so many different things that were really low tech, but also definitely very visible, not portable. And even if you look at the things on the market now, a lot of them are really big and bulky. And if you're home on your couch watching Netflix, you can totally do that. But if you need to go somewhere or be out functioning in the world, a lot of the products that exist to deal with those things are not at all discreet.
That's exactly what comes to my mind, is that up until this point anyway, we're down for the count. You know, if you have period pains, you're calling in sick to work because your heating pad plugs into the wall. And that's the kind of stuff we're talking about. So I love that. I had not intended to take the conversation this direction, so maybe we don't spend a ton of time on it, but I do think listeners are going to want to know a little bit more about, you talked about engaging with an engineering company right away and they came on as investors. Now, I think this is a struggle that a lot of women in your shoes come up across, is I don't have the network to make those introductions. I don't even know where to look. So how did that kind of fall into your lap, if you're willing to share?
Yeah.
Not necessarily fall into your lap, but you know what I mean? Like, how did you get that to happen?
Yeah. I think one of the things I learned, well, the very first thing I did when I decided, okay, I talked to all these women, people need it. I feel like this is my calling. And then I thought, oh shit, I don't know how to do any of this. And so I literally made a list of what I'm not good at. And it was a long list. And then who did I know who was good at those things? And it was sometimes former colleagues, sometimes friends of friends, sometimes someone I met at a party. And I made that list and I emailed all those people and said, hey, I have a business idea and I would love for you to come to a brainstorming session. And I invited them all to my house and I had a lovely dinner and a really ugly deck and sort of walked them through, because graphic design was high on the list of things I should have.
I can relate.
What I thought I could do and didn't know where to start. And that was the very first meeting of what became my advisory board. And I think we are conditioned to think we have to do it all. Mm-hmm. That we need to be able to make like Pinterest worthy cupcakes, mm-hmm. and also run our businesses and always have on makeup and our laundry. I mean, there's like a mountain of laundry next to me that you can't see, like that we're not allowed to be human. We're supposed to be doing, and I think people in general right now are expected to be so high functioning all of the time. And I was like, no, my whole brand is like, you get to say, I need help. And so the first thing I did was say, I need help. And people, I think most of the time, love sharing their expertise. If you have had a career in marketing and you meet someone who has a startup, you're totally going to have coffee with them for 30 minutes and share some like best practice or things to avoid. And so I spent probably the first 18 months of building this business just talking to people, anyone who would talk to me. I joined networking groups. I went to meetings in person. I would meet someone like you, Casey, and you would say, oh, you should talk to Andy because if you want to get on more podcasts, and it just like intro. And I think not everyone likes networking. Mm-hmm. And I am like a slightly extroverted introvert. Mm-hmm. And I had to really be like, okay, this is what it's going to take to do it. And the more people you talk to, the more help you're going to find. I also didn't have a network that did this. My network was in the arts. And you just have to build your network. And hopefully the people in whatever network you have know that you're a good person and have good ideas and that you're a hard worker, and they'll be willing to open up their network for you.
Yeah. And I think the key there is that you had a good idea. You know, I mean, some ideas are amazing ideas and some ideas are like mediocre ideas, right? And I think one of the strengths that you had going here is that people knew that you had an amazing idea. You had uncovered something nobody else had really thought of, and it was a need. And so, yeah, I think people are going to be like, I want to get in on that. And, you know, I want to feel like I've contributed something to changing the way we approach the situation. So I love that. So great advice. So that's probably how you came in contact with this engineering firm then, is through just through your networking and somebody who you know knows somebody who knows somebody or something like that. Yeah.
Absolutely. It was like call to call to call. You know, it was a chain of people that got me to this group of engineers who I never, ever would have found on my own.
Okay. So I'm going to shift a little bit into talking about then the business. Well, we already did. We talked about the investors. And you've already talked about the things that you were not good at and putting those kind of high on your list of to ask for help. And I love how you said, we need to do more of this. And I will tell you, all the clients that I work with, the ones who go on to grow and continue to be successful are the ones who are okay letting things go off of their plate and asking for help. So I love that you recognize that so early on. What are the things that you think come easily to you that really kind of led to your success so far?
I think I'm really good at talking to people. I just said I'm kind of an introvert, but I love having a real conversation with someone and sitting down one-on-one. And I think there are many, many people out there who go through a health experience, especially that talk to their doctor and maybe no one else. And when mm-hmm. someone says, genuinely, how do you feel? And how do you talk about it? And how does that impact your life? People are like, oh, what? Someone cares? Like, right. I do care. I love talking to people. I love writing. I love public speaking. I think that the things that I'm good at are about building the brand and the mm-hmm. voice and tone of that brand. And what does that mean? I am not a technical person. I'm not an engineer. I'm not a finance person. There's so many parts of this business that I've had to learn, because even to hire someone else to do marketing for me, I didn't have the language. Each of these different things that build a business are their own discipline and their own language. And to be a startup founder, you have to at least have a foundational knowledge of all of them. Right. And that's what helps you say, like, okay, I knew I wasn't good at Excel, but now I know specifically that I can't build my own financial forecast and I need to find somebody who can sit down and do that with me. I think I'm also pretty good at kind of continuously dipping my toe in to what's happening and pulse checking. Like, this other organization is doing this and they're doing it amazingly well. I don't need to touch that. Or they're doing this amazingly well and maybe they'd partner with me so we can co-create the next thing together. So the collaborative part that I absolutely believe came from my background in the arts has helped me. And I would say the top thing that I'm good at is receiving criticism well. Yeah. When you come up through the arts, especially if you're someone who creates art, which I was an art minor, I would never refer to myself as an artist, but I have periodically been a maker. When you are in a crit, especially in an educational situation, people are going to look at what you're working on and they're going to say, the composition of this sucks. Your idea is great, but you need to go back to the drawing board, or your composition's beautiful, but why did you pick that color? The sort of constant push and pull of people giving you feedback and insight and expertise and not taking that personally is so hard. I think the only reason I've been able to do this is because I ask for that critique all the time because I was educated through it. So yeah. I can say, hey, Casey, you're awesome at this. Tell me how I can do it better. And that I don't completely fall apart when someone tells me how much one of my ideas or something sucks, because I know that they're trying to help me make it better. And that's a really hard thing to know and learn if you haven't already been doing it.
So you just, in the last 2 minutes or whatever, validated our entire framework here. So I just want to point out to our listeners, all of the things that you said that you are doing that we're here trying to get all of our women visionaries to do. And that is that you are really stepping into thought leadership is what we've kind of coined it, where you said, I'm out there talking to people. I'm good at public speaking. I'm good at networking. I'm good at having conversations with people. I'm good at writing. And those are all things we're trying to encourage listeners to do, because that is how you grow your network, grow your perspective. And so that's one of the things I love that you're doing. And the next thing that you said you were doing is doing the pulse checks in the industry. Like, that's the job of a visionary, to understand what else is happening out there, what's happening with competitors, what's happening with, I don't know what you would call it, they're not competitors, but people that are kind of in either a horizontal or a vertical industry to yours, or what's happening with our customers or our potential customers. So that's the job of a visionary. So it's working, right? The theory is working. And then the last thing you said was the criticism, which for me, I would probably call it research and development, is where you're throwing things out and you're getting feedback on whether that's a good idea or not a good idea, or how can we make it better or change it or scrap it or whatever. So critical components of being a good visionary business owner. So it works, ladies. It works. I think one of the things that our listeners might want to hear from you about is, well, first of all, you have like one of the most amazing business ideas I've come across in a long time. So congratulations to you and kudos for your success. Were there any hiccups or mistakes in your journey that you can look back now and say, it was a learning experience, I'm glad I made the mistake, but if I had known this, or I wish I had known this, I may have done it differently? Or was there anything that you can maybe share for women who are kind of either in your shoes or up and coming into your shoes that could save them some time and money maybe?
And grief. So many
right?
things, Casey.
Oh, yeah.
I would say first, if you are, and there's so many different kinds of businesses, right? Like, I'm a specific type of startup. And a hardware startup, especially connected hardware that has a software component, a hardware component, I had no idea how difficult it would be to get my product on the market. And I also, in reading online and following people on Twitter, you know, you hear about either epic success stories or epic failures. No one talks about all of the people in the middle. And maybe your company isn't going to be worth $1 billion, and maybe you don't want it to be. Maybe you want it to be a business that you run forever. How to get those businesses funded is not something that we talk about all the time. And there's lots of different possible ways to fund your business. And I spent way too long chasing the wrong kind of investors. And I don't have an exact formula that would, you know, there's no magic recipe for this. It really depends on you. It depends on your business. I think all of us know, but maybe it's not like the thing that's in the forefront of your mind, that your business, if you are starting one or have one, is your life. And the process of building it is what you're going to spend your time on. And you want to enjoy that. It shouldn't be painful. There's painful days of everything, but it shouldn't be that the entire thing sucks. And for some people, taking specific kinds of funding completely changes how you live your life.
Yeah.
And knowing and understanding how to fund your business, I think, is, I would say, step one. And definitely, I wasted a lot of time talking to the wrong people early on.
And I've been trying to do an episode on funding for a while because, I mean, I don't even know all there is to know. I know a few of the ways to get funding, but it's hard to, and I think this is a challenge that our listeners run into, and you probably run into as well, is there isn't a resource out there to like outline all of the options and to tell you, like, take this little quiz. Here's your 10 question quiz. What kind of funding is the best for you? You know what I mean? Like, there's not that resource out there. And so, gosh, it would be nice if we had that shortcut.
Yeah. And there are some people who are working on it. I can send you some links that we could put in the show notes for people because I think there are founders who've gone through it, who've been like, this should have been easier or different or better, or I couldn't find what I needed. And I'm happy to share what I have access to with you and your viewers.
That would be amazing. I think you'd be our listener's favorite guest if you did that.
And, you know, honestly, like, I'm always happy to hear from people. If you're someone who's listening to this episode and you have questions, email me. I'm happy to share what I've learned. I would say the other thing is like finding the right strategic partners. I didn't know the difference. And this, I mean, maybe this makes me sound stupid, but I feel really compelled to be honest. I didn't know about all of the different types of engineers that would need to literally touch my project. And I also didn't know how to ask a firm if they had all those different people on staff or if they were going to outsource or how that was going to happen. And I didn't understand the process of having an idea and getting to market from the engineering perspective. I was like, I understand that we're going to need to make the thing and test the thing and go back and make the thing again. And there's going to have to be packaging and instructions. And I had like a general idea, but I didn't understand from the engineering perspective at all what that process would look like. And I really fumbled through it in the beginning, got overcharged. It got complicated and messy. And I didn't know that they were sending things out that I thought they were doing in-house and couldn't understand why it was so expensive. And I think really getting multiple bids from people, and that doesn't mean go with the cheapest.
Right. Yeah.
So I think making sure that you, and this is the thing we used to say in a job I used to have, that process over product, that a good process will yield a good product.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand the process. And when I switched firms, I was like, I need to understand exactly how we're going to do this. I want to see what is each phase. What does it mean? You know, like break it down for me. And it's been so much better and easier. And I think that was a few years of things being messy too. So. Mm-hmm. I would say, and especially if you can find someone who's really excited about your business idea or your technology or you, that will either give you a discount, come on as an investor. There are lots of different opportunities for that too.
I love that. So interestingly, just a couple of weeks ago, I put out an episode talking about the different options for hiring support in the business. And I'm just curious your take on this, having gone through this already. So one of the options that we've mentioned is hiring a consultant. And so if you had the opportunity to go back and look for a consultant who's been through this specific kind of process before, who could, for a fee, help you avoid all of those things, those mistakes that you made, do you feel like that would have been worth it to you? Or do you feel like, you know what, the whole learning process I've went through, even though it cost time and money and heartache, it probably helped me in the long run. Where would you fall on that?
It's easy. It's really easy to see both sides of that. But I think I'm such a better advocate for my business and my product now than if I had had someone else doing it for me. And I think the asking for help that I'm talking about is not like so you don't have to do it. And I think that I've learned so much from the doing it. And the friend who helps me with financial forecasts, when I first asked him if he would help me, he's kind of a quiet guy, but he like was silent for maybe 2 whole minutes. And he said, I'm going to help you, but I'm going to be honest with you and you're not allowed to cry. And I'm going to teach you how to do this yourself, because not that I don't want to help you, but you need to understand and learn how to do this. And I think when you hire a consultant, they're coming in because they're great at something. They're not coming in to teach you. And I don't know that I would trade it. I think I learned a lot. And I was like, who do I know who could have come in and saved me? But no one's going to save you. You're the only person who's going to save yourself.
I love that perspective. And also, I just wanted to mention, since you did mention forecasting and someone that came in and helped you with forecasting, your local SBA, those are services that they provide for business owners for free. All you have to do is apply to work with them. And so there are resources out there for you. And there's other services the SBA may provide too. Now, they're not consultants and they aren't going to do things for you, but they definitely can get you set up and provide guidance. And they can even help you find funding as well. I mean, through loans and things, but I mean, it's kind of the same as getting an investor. So,
right. That's a good point.
Okay. One last question before we kind of go into how folks can get warming products from you and how they can support Brilliantly. As I was sharing with Kristen before we hit record, this podcast is really, we're speaking to you listeners as visionaries. So either you are in a place in your business right now where you are actively handing off the operations of your business, the day-to-day, and you're fully into that visionary role like Kristen is doing with her thought leadership and her research and development and her partnerships, or you are wanting to build a business where you can get to that at some point. And I thought it would be really interesting to ask Kristen, like, where are you at on that spectrum right now of what are you doing in your business today? Like, how active are you in the day-to-day versus stepping fully into that visionary role?
Yeah. I mean, to be totally honest, I'm working on stepping into it. I'm in the middle of fundraising and this round supports building the team. I have a lot of people helping, consultants, part-time people, advisors, but have verbal commitments from the people who are going to join the team so I can zoom out. Because what happens, you know, in the past year especially, is I have to literally take myself away for a few days or a weekend and purposefully take myself out of the day-to-day to see the bigger picture, which is one of the things I think I'm good at. And it's really, really easy to get bogged down by, are the social media templates done? You know, did that blog post go up? All of those day-to-day things that I'm so excited to hand off and I'm in the process of handing off now. So it's an exciting moment. And I'm really looking forward to not doing and overseeing all of it where there's, you know, I did my org chart. I know who's going to be kind of overseeing all the different people who are strategy level to execution level. And it's pretty exciting to be able to actually see it.
That's awesome. And I like your answer because I think what the point I would like to drive home here is that there's no perfect way to define yourself and what role you play in the business. And it's always a process, right? Even if you're not in a place to be where Kristen is right now or to be there soon, you can start little pieces of the process along the way until you get to a place where there is no room for you in the day-to-day anymore. And maybe that looks different for you than it looks like for Kristen, than it looks like for me and any of our other clients. And that's one of the things that I'm a huge proponent of is, you know, there's a lot of books out there with frameworks and, you know, different methods and the way things should be done. And we like a little flexibility here where we take the things that work for us and we leave the things that don't. So I like that answer.
Well said.
Yeah. So there's probably a lot of listeners out there who are wanting to know how they can either get a product from you, like me, for example, or like different ways they might support you or stay engaged with you on this journey.
Well, thanks for bringing that up. As you said, our website is brilliantly.co. You can find us on all social channels the same way. So we're on Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter. And if someone wants to reach out to me directly, as I mentioned, please do that. I'm Kristen at brilliantly.co or hello at brilliantly.co. anything that's addressed to me that goes to the hello email, I do pick up and respond. And, you know, if you want to know more about the product, happy to share that. There's a lot of information on the site. We are actually almost sold out of the units that we have, but we're making more for this fall. So it's pretty great. We're some updated features and functionality based on user feedback, and really excited to hear from your listeners and stay connected with you. And thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome. And then as always, all of those links to Kristen will be in the show notes. So you don't have to stop the car and write down her email address. But Kristen, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. Again, your story, I just think that your story so far has been one of the most amazing stories we've been able to share on the podcast. And I hope our listeners were able to take a lot of good advice from you. And, you know, you were talking about in this community of people and women with different health concerns or health issues, or it's also true in the business world where there's groups out there, but sometimes there aren't groups that are talking about this particular thing or that particular thing. And so I think you've brought, you know, light to all of it here on the show. And gosh, we wish you and Brilliantly the very best.
Well, thank you so much. Take good care. And thanks for having me, Casey.
Honey, what is it that you wanted to tell our listeners today?
Get out there and break some boundaries and do it for me and my generation.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Female Founders Breaking Boundaries. If you enjoyed this episode, would you be willing to leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're tuning in? You can connect with me on LinkedIn using the link in the show notes. And until next week, don't be afraid to get out there and break some boundaries.